2 is not a bill to protect women and children from predators.
This morning, Donald Trump went on the Today Show.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses.
That is correct.
This is an issue that the left started, not the right.
What is the threat posed by these most vulnerable of our human family?
And trans rights are under attack. What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A German NGO and Russian LGBT group fight the Chechen purge, toilet training lessons from North Carolina's 2016 bathroom bill, and thoughts on gender identity definitions for would-be saviors. All that and more this week because you discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 24th, 2021. Five officials of the homophobic government of Chechnya are being charged in a German court for crimes against humanity. They are all said to be part of the inner circle of heavy-handed leader Ramzan Kadyrov. Two of them have already been sanctioned by the European Union, the UK, and the US. Pressure is building on the Australian government to follow suit. The 97-page indictment accuses the five officials of leading Chechnya's persecution, unlawful arrest, torture, and incitement to murder of at least 150 people based on their perceived sexual orientation. The Russian alternative Novaya Gazeta newspaper first published reports of so-called gay concentration camps in 2017. Both the Russian government and its mostly self-governing Muslim region of Chechnya consistently deny any alleged gay purge. So the German NGO, European Center for Constitutional and Human Rights, has stepped in. They're submitting the case in partnership with the Russian LGBT Network, the group that's been helping queer Chechen refugees flee the region. Reporters from The Guardian, who have seen parts of the indictment, identify Kadyrov's personal bodyguard and Deputy Prime Minister Abuzad Vizmuradov, Police Chief Ayub Katayev, and Chechen Parliament Chair Mogamed Dadov among the five named officials. Kadyrov himself has apparently not been charged.
The founder of the German NGO, Wolfgang Kalik, told The Guardian that in an imperfect system of international criminal justice, Germany attempts to guarantee that Europe is no safe haven for war criminals. If no other jurisdiction investigates, Germany is able and must be willing to take over tasks representing thereby Europe and the international community. Advocates in France lodged a complaint in the International Criminal Court in The Hague against the Chechen government in 2017 when the atrocities were first reported. That effort fell apart after Russia flatly rejected the court's jurisdiction. German law especially allows prosecution for crimes against humanity if other attempts to bring the perpetrators to justice fail. If the German federal prosecutor decides to take on the case, Kadyrov's cronies could be arrested the second they set foot on German soil. It could also bolster fleeing queer Chechens' appeals for asylum in Europe. According to The Guardian, the governments of France, Germany, the Netherlands, and Lithuania are among the few that have specifically rolled out the rainbow carpet for them.
Namibia's High Court has rebuffed the effort of two gay dads to reunite their growing family. Namibian citizen Philip Lul and his Mexican husband Guillermo Delgado have a 2-year-old son whose citizenship they were already fighting for. The latest additions to their little brood are twin daughters born in March to a surrogate in South Africa. Namibian authorities rejected the application for the twins to enter the country. They said that Lul must first prove a genetic link to them. Lul and Delgado are both listed as the parents on their infant twins' South African birth certificates. However, Namibia High Court Judge Thomas Masuku ruled on April 19th that ordering the Ministry of Home Affairs to allow the babies to enter the country would be judicial overreach. That decision left Lul stranded in South Africa with the twin girls, while Delgado and the couple's son remain in Namibia. If they were a married heterosexual couple, the Southern African nation would welcome their newborns with no questions asked. Lul's lawyer, Uno Kakiepuka Sibolele, found the judge's decision difficult to understand.
The fact is that he's keeping a family apart because the court doesn't want to overreach, whatever that may mean. And that situation cannot be said to be in the best interest of the children.
A judgment on the citizenship of the couple's two-year-old boy is expected in August.
In the vicious game of Republican-controlled U.S. state legislatures taking target practice against transgender youth in particular, here's this week's scorecard. Tennessee Senate voted 21-7 to allow private civil lawsuits for monetary damages against public schools and districts that allow trans people to use public facilities according to their gender identity. The House has passed a slightly different version. It's just the latest wrinkle on so-called bathroom bills currently overflowing in the country. Republican lawmakers have apparently forgotten what happened when North Carolina tried to politicize the potty 5 years ago this week. More on that later, wherever you hear This Way Out. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee already signed a bill banning transgender athletes from competing in girls' public school sports. A similar bill is moving in Oklahoma. Arkansas's Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson already signed one. He said this week that he will sign another bill heading his way that will allow the state attorney general to sue any school that violates the trans in sports ban. The Arkansas legislature overrode his veto of a bill that denies medically approved care for transgender young people.
The tide may be turning, however, thanks at least in part to the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Republican North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly each vetoed bills this week that would have banned trans competitors in school sports. That came on the heels of the NCAA's announcement last week that the country's collegiate sports authority would pull key events like championship tournaments out of states that discriminate against LGBTQ people or anyone else. That threat was not directly mentioned in the vetoes. North Dakota Republicans are reportedly lining up votes to attempt an override. Florida's Senate has killed an anti-trans and sports ban. Some lawmakers there specifically did cite the threatened boycott by the NCAA. In an Associated Press survey of a number of Republicans in states considering the trans sports ban, not one could point to a specific example of the problem such a ban is allegedly supposed to solve. Montana's Senate voted this week to indefinitely postpone a bill to outlaw gender-affirming surgery for transgender minors. For the record, puberty blockers and other therapies are the medically accepted treatments for transgender teens. Surgery is not recommended. Arizona's Republican Governor Doug Ducey has vetoed a bill that he called overly broad and vague. It would have prohibited all discussion in sex education classes about sexual orientation, gender identity, or even HIV/AIDS, unless parents were given advance notice allowing them to pull their children out of those classes. Louisiana's Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards decided to get ahead of the curve this week. He vowed that he would veto any unnecessary and discriminatory legislation that targets fragile transgender youth.
Finally, activists are fighting an anti-trans proposal in the Australian state of New South Wales by far-right lawmaker Mark Latham. It would essentially ban the recognition of transgender identity and gender diversity in schools. Latham claims that Parliament needs to defend the family unit and the biological science of gender. Trans activist April Holcomb led more than a dozen outraged protesters who disrupted Latham's parliamentary committee as it began considering his bill.
How dare you sit there and try to oversee the rolling back of our rights, rolling them back by decades, trying to attack the most vulnerable people in our society, transgender young people, who've already got it tough enough. You are nothing but a thug and a bigot. The vast majority of people want our schools to be inclusive spaces, don't want teachers to have to turn around and worry about their own jobs, their own livelihoods, because of bills that you are trying to pass with the support of the Liberal Party in this Parliament. How dare you? We are here to fight. We are not going to let you get away with this. When trans rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When trans rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Some security force members had their hands on their holstered pistols, according to at least one report. The protesters offered no resistance as they were forcibly escorted out of Parliament House.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending April 24th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can read the transcript and listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
A cursory glance at the definition of the prefix, or the word trans, tells us that it can mean across, beyond, through, or changing thoroughly.
Find out which trans definition fits you later in the program.
Hello. Hello again. Hello. Hello again.
You'd almost think it was 2016, but don't be fooled. While time may have moved on in the last 5 years, Republican state lawmakers in the U.S. have not. To remind them how their anti-trans strategy played out back when North Carolina's bathroom bill took the country by storm, and to remind queers and allies how to fight back, we revisit my report from 5 years ago this week. It was the pre-Trump rather than post-Trump era, but almost everything else sounds eerily familiar.
It's just another day.
Another week has gone by, and the hate pot continues to boil over in North Carolina. HB 2 bans local governments from protecting LGBT people from discrimination and requires transgender people to use public bathrooms, restrooms, or other sex-segregated facilities based on their birth gender rather than their gender identity. LGBT activists and their allies staged a civil disobedience action at the state capitol in Raleigh on April 26th to protest the law. Pacifica Radio's Gabriela Castellón reports.
Officers arrested 54 protesters who came to voice opposition to the law. Three dozen of them refused to leave the building after it was officially closed, and Capitol Police warned that they faced arrest.
If you do not leave right now, then you're going to be placed under arrest.
Whose house is it?
Reverend William Barber referred to the law as Hate Bill 2 at the protest.
Hate Bill 2 is not a bathroom bill.
That's right.
It is not a bill to protect women and children from predators.
That's right.
It is a cynical attempt to pit supposedly Christian values against our family's best interests and our faith's highest morality.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, thousands of Christian conservatives and other supporters of the law known as House Bill 2 gathered to praise the mostly Republican lawmakers and Governor Pat McCrory for passing the restrictions last month in a special session.
Not surprisingly, both Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have called for the repeal of HB 2.
Well, look, North Carolina did something that was very strong, and they're paying a big price, and there's a lot of problems.
Republican presidential wannabe Donald Trump.
And I heard one of the best answers I heard was from a commentator yesterday saying, Leave it the way it is right now. There have been not very few problems. Leave it the way it is. North Carolina, what they're going through with all of the business that's leaving and all of the strife, and it's on both sides. You leave it the way it is.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
This morning, Donald Trump went on the Today Show.
Rival Ted Cruz milked it for all it was worth.
He was talking with Matt Lauer and palling around with his buddies in the media. Donald agreed with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in attacking the state of North Carolina for passing their bathroom ordinance. Now, let me ask you, have we gone stark raving nuts? I'm the father of two little girls. Here is basic common sense. Grown adult men, strangers, should not be alone in a bathroom with little girls.
Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball, yeah! Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball,
It became clear this week that the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, is not going to hold major athletic tournaments, such as the fabled basketball Final Four, in states like North Carolina if they discriminate against any student athlete or fan.
We need to make sure our student athletes are competing in venues and competing in states that have an inclusive environment for all of our student athletes, our fans, and our coaches.
NCAA Board of Governors Chair Kirk Schultz.
It's important for us to weigh in on these important issues and make sure that regardless of whether our student's a Division I, Division II, or Division III athlete, that their championship experience is among the best.
I can't believe we're talking about this. This is not an issue that I started. This is an issue that the left started, not the right.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory inexplicably continued to defend the law during an interview with Megyn Kelly on Fox News.
Specifically, what was the evidence that led you to believe this was a problem?
It wasn't. It was a respect for privacy. It was an expectation of privacy that individuals have, especially our youth have, when they go into a locker room, a shower, or a restroom. And it's not just women's bathroom, it's boys' bathrooms. And in fact, the Obama administration now is putting requirements on state, on federal money given to states that they also have to have this gender identification requirement for our schools. And what we ought to do is for those people who have these unique gender identification issues, which I empathize with, we ought to allow the schools to make special arrangements for those people, those people, those people.
North Carolina, friendly mountain breezes, North Carolina, with its sandy beaches, living is right in holiday bright, North Carolina.
Late night talk show hosts are, of course, still enjoying a field day with North Carolina's HB2. On NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
There are any number of problems with these laws, and aside from the fact they're hateful and discriminatory, they're also unenforceable. When asked how they would enforce the North Carolina law, a spokesperson for one local police department said, "So that means people have to go to the bathroom with birth certificates? Yeah, that was curious to me." And another said, "We don't have police officers sitting at public bathrooms all day long. But it'd be cool if you did, because then there could be a new Dick Wolf spinoff, Law and Order, Someone's in Here."
And Stephen Colbert on CBS's The Late Show.
If you've been following the news, you know that there are a lot of new laws out there, like one down in North Carolina, which are regulating which bathrooms transgender people are allowed to use. And I mean, this is huge news. Even the candidates are talking about it. And now a protest group has collected 750,000 pledges to boycott the store Target over their policy of welcoming transgender people to use whichever bathroom matches their personal identity. I know you want to know where I stand on this one. Here's the thing. I don't care if you're male or female, what sex or gender identity someone is. I, and I mean this sincerely, do not want to share a bathroom with anyone. Okay? For two reasons. Number one, and number two. And to all those lawmakers out there who are so obsessed with who's using what bathroom and what plumbing they got downtown, newsflash, you're the weirdos.
And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
Returning to the present, Bathroom bills are being pushed in several other states across the country by Republican lawmakers. The power of the NCAA is still being felt, with some states backing down from their anti-trans proposals when confronted with the collegiate sports organization's continued insistence on inclusive policies. The 2020 presidential campaign corrected the catastrophe of 2016, but now queer activists are horrified that Caitlyn Jenner wants to govern California. And the arguments against trans equality are still a joke.
I didn't say no, brainwash you when you least suspect it. I feed your mass media, the age is electric. I got the electric blues, I got the electric blues.
M-F-X-Y? This by Arch John Dyer V considers the changing views of gender and how identity plays in politics and in the media.
Changes! Changes!
It has been said that change is the nature of the universe, and that change is impossible without stepping out of one's comfort zone. However you believe, society in 2021 is witnessing a lot of change, and it's happening quickly, often despite extreme efforts to stop it. Disparate engines of today's change include the global pandemic, economic inequality, environmental crises, and a continually widening social awareness across the planet. Whether by force or by our own will, effecting and maintaining preeminent change is hard work. Learning can be viewed as change. You are transformed by now knowing what you previously did not. Since none of us knows absolutely everything, we are all in a state of learning, a state of change. A cursory glance at the definition of the prefix or the word trans tells us that it can mean across, beyond, through, or changing thoroughly. The expanding awareness of genders and gender identity is taking place most everywhere, with some struggling to define it personally, and others loudly objecting to the very idea of anything existing outside the westernized binary of just male or just female. Modern biology can show us endless physiological examples of those who are not just one or the other, and it only gets more complicated from there. In attempting to describe a gender role that did not fit the, quote, traditional male or female identities, historical anthropologists came up with a term, berdash, referring to a young male prostitute or the passive partner in sodomy. This term, rightly considered offensive by indigenous peoples, also misses the mark completely in its attempt to address gender and what is called gender roles. Another term, specific to some Native American groups, is two-spirit, which again clumsily attempts to lay out a singular description of what is actually a host of diverse, culturally specific, social, and sometimes ceremonial roles. Today, contemporary gender theorists argue that a two-gender system is neither innate nor universal. Other terms, such as intersex and third sex, also attempt to define something that is usually quite complicated, and the idea of personal choice only adds to this array of identities. The National Human Rights Institution, the Asia-Pacific Forum, focuses more on the legal recognition of transgender people, their self-determination, and their access to the same rights as other cisgender men and women. There are many people whose sexual orientation or gender identity is secondary to their ethnic identity, just as there are those who view themselves as unitary, neither male nor female. Did you know that in all of 2020, cable and broadcast news spent a total of 54 minutes covering anti-trans violence? According to Media Matters, 2020 was the deadliest year on record for trans individuals, with Black and Latin trans women comprising the majority of those victims. The question rises, what is the threat posed by these most vulnerable of our human family? Media Matters goes on to show that conservative-leaning media outlets, with the seemingly full cooperation of Facebook, are dominating the conversation about trans individuals and they are happy to spread lies and misinformation, thus stoking the fears of the uninformed. This is mass manipulation at its most devious, and the question again arises, why the need to create a threat when there really is no threat? Critical thinking is something that we can all exercise, but it becomes almost impossible under a constant barrage of that which is not true. Most of us want to believe in the advice of our medical institutions. The almost 10,000 members of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and frontline physicians representing almost 600,000 doctors and medical students all unequivocally state that gender-affirming care is crucial and proper for the lifelong health of trans individuals of any age. So the question remains, what is behind this othering and demonizing of persons who are already dealing with a full plate of complex and often bewildering personal issues? Just imagine the reverse. What if heterosexuality was tomorrow declared illegal and punishable by death? You already know the answer. There are very real consequences to this massive media gaslighting. When the likes of Tucker Carlson lies through his teeth about trans athletes, he endangers those athletes as well as honest attempts at human progress. We are all witnesses to how creating an enemy or monster out of other human beings who only seek their own health, peace, and safety will surely bring harassment, violence, and death. This toxic content also directly harms sacred public discourse and any policies surrounding trans folks, and ultimately, all of us. There is a famous quote from an old comic strip, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." I propose that we adopt an alternative and non-religious version of that idea. The saviors are among us, and they are us. I'm John Dyer V.
They chain you and brainwash you when you least suspect it. They feed your mass media, the age is electric. That electric news, that electric news.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Berry and Marcos Najera, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Gabriela Castellon, and from John Dyer V. The Cars, Paul McCartney, Sonny & Cher, Yes, and the Broadway cast of Hair performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2CCC Gosford, New South Wales, KDUR Durango, Colorado, WWSX Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.